and I'm Ben.
We don't give a toss about Britney, Whitney, or Shitney.
Let's go inside.
Hans Island Podcast number 19 is brought to you this week by the letter F. F for forestry and F for forensics. And also by tomatoes, which are in fact a fruit. And that begins with an F as well. This week we've got a few new things lined up, like the Hans Island Award and also Hans Island Top Tips. No doubt the point of these will become clear to everyone, and possibly even to me, once I've heard them. We're also going to have timestamps provided to us, at interval, by Master Yoda, and some person with a Northern English accent as well.
Oh, young Jedi, it's approaching 9:20!
Why, thank you, Yoda. I'll leave the links to these sites that I got these things from on the website at www.freewebs.com/Hans Island. What a mouthful. So, anyway, let's do like global warming and get started. Coming up, we're going to briefly touch on the one laptop per child on the planet initiative, as well as the teeth being stolen from the Neanderthal Museum. We've also got to meet a new character here on Hans Island, someone who used to hang around with Jesper Rasmussen. Well, actually, let's have him introduce himself.
Hi, I am Torsten. I am a Model SHIT computer. My line of computers was discontinued because we have a tendency to hang around with complete tosspots. Jesper Rasmussen is a tosspot. My only task now is to generate the on-quit fire round when Robert runs out of people to fester on Skype.
Yes. Well, let's see what that all leads to. I've got a few other little things cropping up in between as well. So, from a recent snippet found on the internet while I was sitting on my ass surfing, the following statement I found from a doctor in Ireland. The more fat tissue there is in the buttock, the less likely the needle will reach the muscles underneath that fat. Dr. Chan, for that was his name, proposes that a longer needle length is required to increase the success rate of intramuscular injections. Longer needle, eh? Needed so fat people can receive the medication they're no doubt on in the first place because, well, they've eaten too much. Fancy that. So you've got heaps of needles in the hospital already, and now you need to swap them all out for longer ones because the current ones are too short. What a vicious cycle. We need to spend yet more money treating overfed people in the West rather than spending it on preventing, I don't know, global warming, drought, famine maybe? Have a think. So yes, there you have it. Make of that as you will, dear audience. The link to that piece of information can be found on the website, which I mentioned the URL of earlier. And of course, if you think it was utterly useless, then please write in admiration to hansisland@lycos.co.uk or .yuck, as it is also affectionately known as, in the UK, of course. So .yuck, there you go. Right, now, alles klar, Herr Kommissar. This week, since Torsten is rather new to all this, rather than actually have a quickfire round, I thought I'd introduce everyone to a company called Quickfire. Ooh, the irony. Quickfire is actually an American company, there's a surprise, that makes laser sights and other things to make murdering easier and more fun, I suppose. Like a, you know, a family activity, as you'd think. It'll light up your victim with a large red dot just before you pulverize him or her. Let's be PC here. Remember, it's not guns that kill people, as we're told. It is, of course, a high-velocity projectile ripping through a person's flesh that kills people. Anyway, the company's slogan is Quick Fire, a laser sight with a vision. Makes, be down in a minute, hun, just masturbating, sound almost normal, doesn't it? Ah, this is pants. Can't do this. I can't pretend to be impressed or even interested in friggin' laser-guided murder. Here's a quickfire round with Torsten, ready or not. Our electronics friend now stationed at Hans Island.
3, 2, 1.
Quickfire!
Hello, Robert. Here is your quickfire round. Dolphins or killer whales?
Oh, dolphins, definitely.
Supporting football or encouraging sectarianism?
well, supporting football rather than encouraging sectarianism, but more often than not, it's the same thing.
Working from home or homing from work?
Oh, working from home, definitely. It's much more fun.
Mineral water all night or take a taxi home?
Definitely take a taxi home.
Do it yourself or look at a builder's bum?
Oh, do it yourself, for all sorts of reasons.
Sleek little laptop or giant hard disks?
You're getting carried away, Torsten. Sleek little laptop, but I know where you're coming from.
Silicon implants or silicon chips?
There you go again. I'll go for the chips, mate.
Roman Polanski or Roman Empire?
Oh, Roman Empire. Without which we wouldn't have Sage.
Paris Hilton or the actual Hilton in Paris?
Well, to get into either, you'd probably have to be absolutely loaded. I'd go for the Hilton in Paris, thank you very much.
And lastly, ski resort or shoot an elk in the head?
It's a trick question. It's the same thing, isn't it? I'd go for the ski resort, although, you know, I wouldn't have to be around for shooting an elk in the head.
Thank you, Robert. This has been your quickfire round.
Quite. I'm impressed at Torsten's ability to actually do a quickfire round. That's quite something, eh? Being interviewed by an electronic voice.
9:31.
Shut the hell up, British stereotype person, you. We're trying to do a podcast here and convey some really interesting information kind of thing. Bloody hell. So, this week in the news, Bush and Blair hit the headlines again. Secret memo this time. Now, secret memo? Is this not a complete contradiction in the first place? An oxymoron type thing? If you want to keep something secret, you shouldn't write a memo about it, should you? I mean, hello? So, Rupert Murdoch, make your headlines at least slightly accurate. Get knotted? Regardless, though. So, yes, right. $100 laptops. Now, what's all that about then? I've got a link up on the website, and it's all about an MIT stroke something else thing, right? Now, what they're doing is that they're taking a $100 machine, which is going to be Linux-based, and it's going to have a kind of a wind-up handle at the edge, so you can actually power it up kind of thing. So it's a plastic laptop which runs Linux, which is free, of course. It can run DVDs. It can do two kinds of screen. It can do a higher resolution color kind of thing. And then it can also do a kind of a grayscale thing that you can see in full sunlight. And then it's got this predictive networking kind of idea. So if you've got a lot of these laptops, they've all got the capability of going wireless. So if you've got a lot of these laptops spread out across the countryside, then they can kind of join up into an ad hoc kind of network, which is fantastic. You know, act as each other's routers. I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I think that is the way forward for the world. You know, let's connect the third world up and do this. Anyway, have a look at the site. It's great. It's on www.freewebs.com/Hans Island. I've stuck a link up there. I really do hope this kicks off, and I'd like to support it, of course, if I wasn't so busy podcasting. Anyways, a new section here on Hans Island is the Hans Island Award. I'll just launch into it, shall I? Who am I talking to here? Anyway, here's this week's award.
Award for the most stupid piece of blatant consumerism gadget crap.
This week's Hans Island Blatant Piece of Consumerism Crap Award goes to mini motorbikes, or motorcycles, or bicyclette de moteur, or whatever, depending on where you come from, obviously, and what language you speak. Languages, maybe. These stupid, filthy things not only waste huge amounts of energy getting produced and marketed, but also pollute the planet with fumes and noise. Not to mention, when out walking with your children in the park, the absent psycho parent who bought his 7-year-old son one of these things trying to kill your child? Well, if the mini motorbike doesn't do it before his 8th birthday, then maybe his implanted desire to drive fast and dangerously will get him killed when he's 17. When you buy him his first car. Stupid parents buy mini motorbikes. There you go. Sorry, I'm going on a bit of a rant there. Maybe a true slogan for mini motorbikes could be, try to kill your child and piss off your neighbourhood today with a mini chopper. I could do that really well, couldn't I? Try to kill your child and piss off your neighborhood today with a mini chopper. Or maybe I'm getting a bit too wound up about this kind of thing. But these things aren't roadworthy to start with. So the only place to race around on these extremely noisy things is in a public place, like public parks and forest walks. Not clever producing them, even less clever buying them. Unless, of course, you're only 4 foot tall and you're buying it as part of your startup business project in the third world to help rural taxi drivers or something like that. Bugger. Anyway, the award goes to mini motorbikes all the same. Utterly useless consumerism crap. Well, that's going to be a hit then, I suppose, unless everybody finds it a bit too negative. I found another free online electronic voice thing on the internet called Audrey. Here she is, just cementing the award there.
People who buy mini motorcycles are obviously stupid.
Thanks there, Audrey. Much appreciated.
Oh, young Jedi, it's approaching 25 to 10.
Oh, sod off, Yoda. We're on a podcast here. As if a timestamp is actually going to make any sense to anyone on a podcast. I mean, even getting the date right is nearly impossible. Or is it? Email me on hansisland@lycos.co.uk if you know of a way to sync time to a podcast, i.e. like flying around the world very fast with a cape on, making it spin backwards type thing. Bugger. Here's this week's top tip.
Top tips for helping the planet.
Hans Island's top tip of the week. A look at things that can be done by everyone, in their own homes or otherwise, and indeed, if everyone on the planet did this one little thing, the whole world would be a nicer place to live. Here we go. If we all took a little time taking notes of the various dogs being walked in our neighbourhoods, if we started taking a note of where they actually lived and when they were most likely to not be out walking, then when they were running around in their gardens, right, with their owners unsuspecting in the house making tea or whatever, jump the fence, grab the friggin' dog, smear its paws into an already prepared pile of human poo, see how the little shite likes that. Okay, I know that it's actually the owner that needs that treatment and not the dog, because they should be picking it up. It's just, a plan needs to be achievable, and with the vast majority of antisocial dog owners stereotypically also being bearded, leather jacket, huge psychos, it's probably safer to target the dog. Unless, of course, if I started off this top tip segment from Hans Island with the words, "Don't try this at home." Well, that would just miss the whole point now, wouldn't it? Well, quite. This new format for Hans Island is, of course, completely missing out the link back to Hans Island. Only knowing half the facts and Hans Island type thing are, of course, completely fabricated, whereas the actual little island off the west coast of Greenland is not fabricated. Or maybe it is. Anyway, pardon me. East coast of Canada. Was that what I was saying? Yeah. It depends on where you're looking at it from, I suppose. Is the glass half full or half empty? Is Hans Island to the west of Greenland or to the east of Canada? Unfair question, I feel, about the glass, really. It completely bloody depends, doesn't it? I mean, if the glass is filled with cyanide, then that might influence the way you look at it, right? Whereas if it's filled with Belgian beer, then your outlook might be different. Or maybe not. What the hell am I talking about? Ah! Neanderthal. Neanderthal is a little town. Well, Neander is actually a river. And the German word for valley is Tal, so Neanderthal is the Neander Valley, basically. It's just outside Mettmann, which is close to Düsseldorf in Germany. It's a very nice part of Germany. Anyway, that is where the Neanderthal skulls and remains were found a long time ago. Well, I think it was in the 1920s. I don't know. This is Hans Island, so I'm just talking completely blindly with only having half the facts. Anyway, there is a museum there, which I've been to, which is quite interesting, etc. And back in 2004, I'll put this link up on the website, by the way. Back in 2004, some teeth, Neanderthal teeth, you know, really ancient fossilized things, were stolen. I mean, hello, they were stolen from the museum. What kind of thing is that about? What is that about? Is that a conspiracy theory? Is it worth losing sleep over? Why should someone steal teeth? I mean, are they going to sell them? Do they collect them?
Or is this actually some kind of reincarnated Neanderthal being that is has resurrected itself and has gone looking for prosthetic teeth? Ah, I don't... This is just pants. What a shit story.
Here's an interesting piece of trivia for all nerds, geeks, and wannabe Hans Island enthusiasts. Wir wollen gern sein. That's in German for anyone listening in South America. They all speak German in South America, you know. Anyways, old-fashioned vinyl records were always spun at the same speed, but as we all know, the further towards the center you get, the slower the needle went through the groove. So, although analog, the data had to be packed more tightly on the outside as opposed to the inside, blah, blah, blah. Now, modern CDs are not that clever at all. All the data is spaced out equally regardless of where it is. So a CD player actually has to spin the disc slower the further out towards the edge it's reading. Imagine what a piece of chewing gum could do to a CD player. Just a thought.
Ooh, we're coming to the end of podcast 019, that's 19 to you and me, and I haven't even mentioned what has happened to Jesper Rasmussen. Well, he's actually going to be collaborative in future podcasts, starting with podcast 020 next week. Torsten needs to look out, I'm quite sure. Anyway, I'm trying my hardest to tart up the website and also to find an RSS feed that actually works. A free server in Mongolia powered by solar panels and or biofuel would obviously be my ideal platform. But hey, that ain't going to happen, is it? Likelihood is, however, that Hans Island will continue to be hosted in dodgy environments, such as our media and anything else, until such a time as I get enough time on my hands to either invent a platform for hosting or to convince myself of the ethics behind paying for some hosting space. Right, more Hans Island awards and top tips next week. We didn't even have time for Environmental Man this week. What is the world coming to? Well, hot and infested with dog shite is my immediate answer about the world and the state of it. Oh, well, I've also remade the ending credits, so they aren't that long. Anyways, it's goodbye from freezing Scotland. Adios, sayonara, tschüss, ciao, and go after.
Here are the credits after this Hans Island podcast.
Thanks everyone for contributing. That includes Calpomat. Visit us at www.freeweb.com/Hans Island. Alternatively, email at hansisland@lycos.co.uk. My name's Robert, no pun intended, and thanks for contributing. This has all been fictional, and no harm has been intended to happen to anyone. Thank you, bye.